Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Thursday. And unfortunately, I still am a bit under the weather. I don't know if my voice sounds better or worse tonight. I was watching the replay from yesterday's show, and I sound much better listening to it from my phone than I sounded to myself. Because talking yesterday to myself, it sounded very bad, but then I watched replay, and it didn't sound terrible. So I don't know if I sound better or worse tonight, but I'm going to power through. We're here powering through the sick week on America First. Last week was the vacation week, and now we have the sick week. We still have a great show in spite of my illness, in spite of the Zoomer Clips flu, which I have contracted. Tonight, we are talking about the plane again, the plane crash. You know, yesterday, we talked about it very briefly. Just went over that this Ukrainian plane crashed in Iran. And I didn't think very much of it. You know, yesterday I said, it doesn't really matter to me. Probably doesn't matter to anybody because nobody at the time was talking about it. But today, we have some more news about this plane. And if you remember, this was about an hour or two after Iran launched the missiles at the American bases in Iraq, that a plane that was leaving Iran and going towards Ukraine crashed. And at first, nobody had any idea why this was. Ukraine and Iran said it could have been technical failures. Then they both basically retracted their statements and were more uncertain. Today, we found out from American and Canadian intelligence, they're speculating, I'm saying they're speculating, we don't know this for a fact, but American officials and Canadian officials have said they're confident that Iran shot down the plane with missiles. Now that's what they're claiming. I'm not claiming that. I didn't see, I wasn't there. I don't know how the plane fell out of the sky, but American and Canadian officials are claiming that Iran shot the plane out of the sky. And now we're going to see what happens next. So that'll be our main story tonight. That'll be our featured story. We will also be talking tonight about the border wall, which there was a major win for the construction of the border wall today. An appeals court ruled in favor of emergency funds being transferred to fund the border wall. $3.6 billion in particular have been approved by this court of appeals. Now, the money hasn't been allocated just yet. This is not the end of this process. I think it has to go through one more court, and then the money is transferred. But it's a big win for the president, and we'll see what this turns into in the rest of the year. There's 299 days until the election. 0 miles of new wall have been built 3 years into the presidency. So we'll see what will happen with this money, if Trump will be able to transfer all the money. But that's the other story we'll be getting to tonight. And it should be a pretty good show. You know, not as eventful. I have to tell you, I continue to be, from a content point of view, to feel cheated out of another world war. You know, I feel like I've been doing this show for 3 years, and it's such a tease every time. You know, and don't get me wrong, I don't want war. I don't like war. War is a terrible thing. But I've been doing this show for 3 years, and how many times do we come right to the brink? We're right there with North Korea, or right there with Pakistan and India, or right there with Iran, or Syria, Venezuela, and it just never happens. We just never see, you know, nobody pulls the trigger, the missiles don't launch, nothing lands. So instead, we're talking about border wall funding and a plane crash. That's okay. It's better. That's fine. It's better that way, okay? Is everybody happy? No war. So from a content point of view, I feel cheated, but that's okay. Before we dive into, a lot of people don't understand that's a joke, by the way. I still get comments on these. I hope people understand. I am kidding when I say that. Because I still get comments, before I move on, I still get comments on my videos where people are like, this guy is mad that we didn't go to war with Iran. Oh, this guy's a Zionist shill. It's like, it's jokes, okay? You know, and we've been seeing for the past so many weeks, it's like jokes are just, they're just not, you know, just going over people's heads. That's why, you know, the boomer problem, what did I say years ago at American Renaissance? Boomer generation and its consequences. You know, vindicated when we try to make jokes. But before we dive into the news, I did just want to address something I was posting about this on Twitter today. I don't know if you saw. But recently, a very big opportunity has come up for me. Did you see this on Twitter? Yeah, a man by the name of Justin Sherman. Justin Sherman. Yeah, that's a great last name. Reached out to me and wants to interview me for CBS. Guys, this could be my big break. I'll read you the email. Let's see. This is Justin Sherman. He says, "Hello. My name is Justin Sherman, and I am a freelance producer working with CBS News Originals." Whoa. The big time. Network television. I'm working with the CBS News Originals team on a documentary about political commentators online. We were hoping to feature Nicholas J. Fuentes in the documentary for a section about YouTube. Specifically, we are hoping to ask about gaining a following on YouTube, benefits the platform can provide, issues with the platform, voices being banned from YouTube. Our hope is to do an on-camera interview. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thank you, Justin. Guys, I think I finally made it. Sign me up, Justin. Hey, Justin Sherman, yeah, give me a call. No, but I love to see it, you know. I've seen this email. It's been floating around Twitter for the past, like, 2 weeks. If you guys have been keeping up to speed with Twitter, I think Faith Goldie got this exact same copy-paste email. Ramsey Paul got it. Brittany Pettibone got it. Black Pigeons Speaks. Black Pigeons Speaks. Coach Red Pill. This guy named The Quartering. I've seen like a dozen people have gotten the exact same copy-paste email. And to me, you have to wonder, like, how stupid do you think we are? Or how stupid do they think we are at this point, right? You know, they send me this email, they want to interview me about my YouTube channel. Gee, I'm sure that Justin Sherman from CBS just wants me to tell my side, right, of the story, right? He wants me to tell my story. They're going to use this as material to show other people how they can make it on YouTube if they want to be political, right? They just happen to only email right-wing people. You know, they didn't hit up Hassan Piker, they didn't hit up Destiny, or even Sargon of Akkad, anybody like that. They just only happen to hit up distant right people to talk about YouTube. I'm sure this is well-intentioned. No, of course not. I've learned my lesson from MTV. I learned my lesson from, I don't know if you saw this, but there was another incident, sort of like my incident with MTV with Jarrod Taylor recently, where some photographer reached out to Jarrod Taylor and said, hey, like, I forget what the story was, but they gave him some BS cover story saying they wanted to do, like, a profile on him, something like that. And within, like, 6 months, all these photographs they took surfaced in an article about, like, white supremacist terrorism. And they show this horrible black and white picture of Jarrod Taylor. It's like, what do they call the shot? A low angle shot looking up at him. He looks terrible. You know, he looks like a villain, like Frankenstein's monster or something. You know, so after my thing with MTV, after that, that's only the latest example of this. Yeah, I think I'm going to pass Justin Sherman. You know, just like, who is the guy who emailed me for MTV? Jason Wolf. You know, interesting last names. I think we're going to pass. But I read this email and I think, like, how dumb do they really think we are? That they make it about YouTube? Like, the cover story isn't even close to sounding legitimate. It's pretty obvious what they intend to do with this kind of stuff. So, you know, I replied. I just said, like, fuck off or whatever. But it's important to remember about journalists, to me. In my experience with MTV, you know, I was, like, young. I was 17, I think, or 18 at the time. You know, I was, like, polite. I was respectful. You know, this was after Charlottesville. And journalists were hitting me up, and I would be, like, so nice to them. And, oh, hi, yeah, nice to meet you, blah, 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 and cordial and everything. And, you know, then these people would put up pieces in mainstream national news, which were designed to ruin my life. You know, they would come into my house, come into my home, shake my hand, look me in the eye, smile. I remember some stupid bimbo femoid from NBC came over. Oh, hi, oh, it's so great to meet you, whatever. And then they air a profile on, I forget what show it was, I think it was the Today Show, actually, after Charlottesville, and it was, oh, this guy's a white supremacist, he's a white nationalist, and so on. You know, then they go back to the studio, they chop it up, edit it, to ruin your life. I know this is not exactly groundbreaking stuff, but it's a reminder that these people hate us. They want it, journalists in particular, not simply the left, but journalists. These people are the enemy. They hate you. And they have to be treated like they hate you. You know, because a lot of people, I say this a lot on the show, a lot of people watch my show and they sort of like digest what I'm saying. They like kind of get it. Like, yeah, okay, the press is left wing. The press is the enemy of the people, right? The press is fake news, all this stuff that Trump says. But in practice, they don't act like it. In practice, they act like, oh, journalists are just people. Oh, you know, we're all the same. Wrong! You have to treat journalists like shit, okay? You have to. Because these people want to kill us. You know, like this guy, Justin Sherman, he doesn't actually sound all that, like, polite in this email. He's somewhat cordial. Hello, I'm Justin Sherman. I'm working on this thing. You know, behind this very thin facade is somebody that wants to come in my house, capture my likeness on camera so that they can use it to destroy my way, my ability to make a living. So they can use that to call me the worst names that they can come up with in modern society and get me ostracized, you know, marginalized from polite society and so on. And that person should be treated like they're doing that. You know, like if a homeless person came up to you and was trying to like stab you or something, you would be like, oh, no, no, thank you. I don't want to be stabbed today. You would say, like, get away from me, man. You know, somebody ran up to you with a hammer, was trying to beat you over the head. You would be like, oh, no, thank you. No hammer for today. Oh, sorry, I just don't want that. You'd say, like, hey, stop. And that's how it should be with journalists. When they come at you and with these very innocent, innocuous questions, they're trying to do the same thing, albeit less violently, but to hurt you, to ruin your life. They have to be treated like that. Fuck off. You suck. We hate you. You're scum. You should feel bad. You should be ashamed. That's how they have to be treated. So now, some people figured this out way before I did. You know, you got to give me a break. I'm a young guy, but I've learned my lesson. I saw the MTV thing. I see this from CBS. It doesn't even faze me anymore. You know, Justin Sherman, you're on notice. That name's going in the list. Okay, so anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. I did tweet about that. You could see the full email on Twitter and my response and all that. But you just love to see it. You can never catch a break. It's always, now that I'm like a big-time content creator, I can just never have any rest. Constantly now persecuted by the media, by the journalist, by Turning Point, the left. It just never ends. But anyway, we're going to dive in. We're going to talk about this border wall money for Donald Trump. Kind of a white pill. We haven't talked about immigration in a long time. I can't even remember the last show we did about immigration. It's just been so much with Iran, obviously, the past couple of weeks. Impeachment was before that. Groyper Wars before that. You know, so I feel like we really haven't even talked about immigration. But, you know, honestly, immigration is kind of going okay again. You know, for example, I was looking at the numbers today. There was a report that's not in what we're talking about, the wall. But separately, I saw a different report that said that if you look at border apprehensions for the month of December, they were down to 33,000. You know, and border apprehensions is a metric of how many people are coming over the border. You know, a lot of people would think, like, if border apprehensions are lower, that means that, like, we're not doing a good job of apprehending people. I've seen it used as a metric to gauge how many people in total are coming across. You know, if you apprehend a lot of people, that means a lot of people are coming across. If you apprehend a small number of people, that means less people are coming across the border. And so only 33,000 people were apprehended in the month of December. That might sound like a lot, and I mean, I guess it is, but if you've been following this show for a long time, you remember that in the month of May of 2019, that number was 150,000. 150,000 people were apprehended in the month of May in 2019. And that number's been going down every month for 7 months. It was down to, I think, 120,000 in June, down to 100,000 in July. And at the time, like late summer, early fall, I said, you know, well, if the numbers keep going down, then that's good. I said, but typically, it sort of fluctuates with the seasons. You know, usually you get the most illegal immigrants in the springtime. It goes down in the summer. It picks back up in the fall. But it looks like the numbers keep going down. They're staying down. It looks like the president's deal with Mexico and some of the protocols he's put into place, policies he's changed, are actually making a big difference. So you go from 150,000 in the month of May down to 33,000. That's a huge difference. So that was one number that I saw that I said, it looks like it's a lot better. And then the other thing, and this is the story we're going to talk about tonight, is the border wall money. So I'll read you, this is a report from, I think, CNN. It says, quote, "The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled late Wednesday that they are putting up, rather they are putting a stay on a district court injunction that had blocked the use of $3.6 billion in military funds for a border wall. The decision removes the prohibition as Trump appeals the lower court's ruling. The Fifth Circuit's order is not a definitive victory for the president as the case remains ongoing. Still, the ruling noted that there is, quote, a substantial likelihood that El Paso County, Texas, and the Border Network for Human Rights lack standing to bring the case. The court also pointed to a recent Supreme Court ruling which stayed an injunction in a similar case, stating, quote, the government is entitled to the same relief here. The administration has built approximately 90 miles of wall and has been ramping up efforts to try building close to 450 miles of the barrier by the end of the year." So, you know, again, as I said at the top of the show, it's not like a huge victory because the money isn't allocated yet. You know, from what I understand, it's a lot of like legal jargon. This is an appeals court, so this is like in the middle of the process. They put a stay on the injunction. The injunction blocked the money. They put a stay on the injunction, which I think means it like it's like a double negative. It cancels out. So in other words, this is just another roadblock, another obstacle that has been cleared to the money being transferred. And if the money is transferred, this would fund a substantial amount of border wall. You know, as I've been saying, you know, for the past couple of years, the border wall costs $17 billion. I don't know exactly how much money's been allocated so far, but if they can start to approve these transfers from the Department of Defense, from the Pentagon, from DHS, you know, I think there was a Treasury forfeiture fund or something like that. If they can just start to clear the way for the funds being transferred, I think then you can transfer a lot more money, right? If they transfer like one, it would seem legitimate to me that they could transfer a lot more money, you know? So to me, as long as this is moving its way through the courts and ultimately is green light, it ultimately gets cleared, then that means we get a substantial amount of money for the border wall. I'll say though, I'm like cautiously optimistic. It's kind of bad. It kind of sucks right now. You know, we were promised, if you remember during the campaign, the promise was 1,000 miles of border wall, and he said it was going to be concrete and it was going to be 30 feet high. What it looks like we're now going to get is 400 miles of wall. It's going to be 18 foot high, and it's going to be steel bollard fencing. You know, granted, fencing is better than nothing, right? And we have to, I think, affirm that. We have to acknowledge that, give credit where it's due. Fencing is better than not having any barrier. But what we were promised was 30 foot concrete wall and 1,000 miles of it. And instead, if we're lucky, we're going to get 400 miles of 18-foot-tall steel fencing by the end of 2020. Now, granted, he could win another term. You know, it's possible. I would say he's got maybe a 50-50 chance of winning re-election at this point in time. If he wins re-election, he gets another 4 years. And so if he only does 400 miles now, well, then you could conceive of a possibility, an outcome where he could build another 400 miles in the next 4 years. That said, where we are right now is zero. We're not at 1,000. We're not at 750. We're not at 400. We're at nothing. As recently as November, I don't think we have anything current like in January, but the last time we heard from the federal government was November. They said they built 0 miles of new wall. The numbers right now are something like 75 to 78 miles of replacement fencing, which means that in areas where you already had barriers, they replaced it with the 18-foot bollard fencing, and you've got 78 miles approximately of that, but nothing new. You know, we have not built any barrier where there was not barrier previously, which means that all the miles of the border that were completely unsecured before Trump got into office remain unsecured. And that's a problem because it's been 3 years. And, you know, for a long time, I was known as the, like, Trump plan truster. I'm glad I, like, emerged from that reputation because, like, this time last year, I was like, you know, everybody would say, oh, you're Bill Mitchell Jr. Oh, you're the guy that would rationalize anything Trump would do. You know, but after criticizing the president, scrutinizing the president for the past year, I think now people don't say that as much. You know, but in saying that, what I mean to say is maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I could say, well, 0 miles of new wall, not a big deal. He's got time. You know, I could have said that in January 2017 when he got inaugurated. Okay, well, he hasn't started on the wall. We'll give him some time. You know, he just got into office. I could say that even, honestly, in 2018. You know, okay, well, he's been in office for 1 year. Like, well, what's really the big deal? But 2019, after the midterms, right? After he got his ass kicked in the midterms, Republicans got destroyed. It's still zero. Well, that's really bad. Well, now it's coming up on 3 years, okay? It's been 3 years since he got inaugurated, and it's nothing. And I would understand if it was like 50 miles, you know, or 100 miles. It was like minuscule, but at least you had started. But we haven't even started. That's so bad. That's terrible. You know, so when I say I'm optimistic, I mean like I'm cautiously optimistic from rock bottom, from like can't get anywhere worse. There's nowhere to go but up. It can't possibly be worse than nothing 3 years in. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we could start moving in the right direction. But that said, we have to acknowledge alongside that that we're at a really bad spot. And here's why this is so bad. A lot of people will say, well, you know, Trump's really fighting for us. You know, people are just fighting him really hard inside the administration, which I get. He appointed all those people, right? Or he appointed the people that appointed them. I guess that doesn't matter. Or he's getting pushback from the Congress, which I get. But here's the thing. Here's why that's so bad. People say, well, he's accomplished other things. Why the wall is so important, as always, is because the wall does not leave with Trump. If Trump deploys National Guard to the border, if Trump leaves office, the National Guard will leave the border, okay? And then we're back to where we were before. Trump can pass a policy to secure the border. You know, he could send more personnel, or he could put drones, or whatever. But if Trump leaves office, the policies could be overturned. The drones can be sent back to the base. You know, whoever's, you know, whatever personnel are fortifying the border, they'll be sent back too. And then you're back to where you were before Trump got into office. That's why we have to have a physical, tangible structure being put up on the border, because that does not go away when Trump leaves office. It can't go away. You know, perhaps a Democrat could get into office way in the future, somebody so radical that they would tear down infrastructure. I don't think that's likely in the near future. I guess who knows what's possible in the long term. But you build a physical structure, and that at least is lasting. Trump will leave, and the wall will stay up. And that will continue to deflect illegal immigrants and border crossers, right? That's why that has to happen. And Ann Coulter has said this week, she says that what we should get going is some kind of like hashtag 400 miles. The number, the benchmark that this administration has set out for itself, the goal is they want to build 400 miles by the end of the year, which I think is doable if you can transfer the funds. And by the way, I don't even think you need to go through these like processes. I don't think you have to really go through litigation. If you look at immigration law from the Immigration and Nationality Act, or if you look at anything about like military construction, like the president has so much leeway in terms of like allocating money and defending the border. Like there's a lot I think the president can do that he's simply not doing because either he's not aware of all his options or his advisors are advising him against that, whatever it is. But I don't even think we need to go through the processes that we are. Nevertheless, we have to achieve 400 miles by the time he gets to re-election. Otherwise, I think it'll all be for naught. You know, a lot of people have been dogging this guy for 3 years, and I think it's all basically legitimate. You know, we went out to the polls, we got beat up for the MAGA hats, we lost our friends for supporting this guy. In other words, we did our part. It would be a horrible shame, I think, a huge missed opportunity, wasted opportunity, that we got this guy all the way through the nomination, through the general, into the White House. I mean, propelled him through this like impossible contest, and he's at the seat of power, and all he had to do was execute, and 4 years, and we blew it, and nothing came of it. Like, that would be horrible. I can't imagine waking up January 2021, and like Pete Buttigieg is president, you know, him and Chasten are making out in front of the Congress building, and they're giving the State of the Union, and they're saying, America is now a gay country, and there's, like, no wall, and it's all over. I couldn't forgive myself if that happened, you know? So I hope he pulls through. I hope we get 400 miles up, but I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see what happens. This is a sign of things to come, or if this is a sign of things to come, then maybe we'll be in good shape. If this transfer of funds goes through the proper process in the courts and we're able to start hiring contractors and putting up the wall, then I think that might be possible. But we'll see about that. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about the flight. We're going to talk about the airliner. You know, who knows? Maybe warmongering neocon Nick is still going to get his war after all, right? If the Iranians did not kill anybody in their first missile strike, who knows? Maybe neocon Nick will get his war after all with this Ukrainian airliner. Maybe America First will get the war that it so desperately wants for the content after all with this airliner that's been shot down. So that is a joke. We have to clarify that is ironic, okay? Boomer check, that is ironic. But we covered this yesterday. This is part of the ongoing Iran saga, the latest situation. Of course, we had the Iranian retaliatory strike on the United States. What was that, on Tuesday? Yeah, that was Tuesday night. Obviously, Iran launched 15 missiles into Iraq, attacking bases where American forces were held. It killed nobody. This was in retaliation for the killing of Qasem Soleimani on the 3rd. And then what happened after the strike turned out to be totally uneventful. You know, nobody died. It looks like the bases weren't even damaged that much. America's not going to respond militarily. But after the strike, this airliner went down. This airliner that was going towards Ukraine from Iran goes down, killing 176 people, including Canadians, Iranians, Swedes, all kinds of different people. It goes down, and nobody knew why. We talked about this yesterday. It was sort of a strange thing. I speculated that, of course, when you have a big missile strike going on and then an hour later a plane crashes, like, it's hard for me to believe that these two events are unrelated. You know, they said it was tactical failures. Forgive me for speculating that it would be a wild coincidence if, you know, the night of a huge missile barrage flying through the air in Iran, a plane falls out of the skies over Iran. It would seem like very weird if those things were not related. Now, today we have some more information about that from American and Canadian intelligence. They are saying that they are confident that Iran shot down the plane. And I'll read you, this is the latest from CBS, my big break here, right? CBS that wants to employ me for their documentary. They say, quote, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said intelligence from multiple sources, including Canadian intelligence, indicated that the plane was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile. He said, quote, this may well have been unintentional. Of the 176 people killed in the crash, at least 63 were Canadians. Trudeau called for an in-depth investigation into the crash. Additionally, U.S. officials are confident Iran shot down the jetliner in the hours after the Iranian missile attack on U.S. targets earlier this week. President Trump was quoted as saying, it's a tragic thing when I see that. It's a tragic thing. But somebody could have made a mistake on the other side. He said, it had nothing to do with the United States. It was flying a pretty rough neighborhood, and somebody could have made a mistake. Asked if he thought it was a mechanical issue, Trump said he didn't, quote, think it's even a question personally. He said, I have a feeling that it's just something very terrible happened. And I'll say it's kind of interesting, because on the one hand, you've got the Canadian and American intelligence that say the plane was shot down. And I'll just give you this disclaimer. I know people are going to be autistic about this. I don't believe, like, anything that American intelligence says. Am I the only one? Because I feel like every time American intelligence tells us something like, you know, Iran shot down the plane, or, you know, they're telling us about the embassy attacks or even the missile attacks that have been going on in American bases in Iraq for the past couple of months. When they told us about the drone that was shot down over the Persian Gulf, or they tell us about the tankers that were attacked in the Gulf of Oman, Like, I just don't believe them. I just have a hard time believing them. After we killed Qasem Soleimani, American intelligence said, well, Qasem Soleimani was planning an imminent attack. Well, like, that seems very convenient, don't you think? So, I don't know. It feels like to me, after what happened with Iraq, and frankly, even what happened in 2001, I don't have to say the date, but even what happened in 2001, you could go back to the Gulf of Tonkin or Pearl Harbor. I just don't believe the government. I just can't, you know? So when American intelligence says, well, we're confident that, Iran shot down this jetliner, it's like on a scale of, dancing Israelis to weapons of mass destruction, where am I supposed to find any legitimacy in what you have to say? So take it with a grain of salt. You know, the Pentagon says Iran shot down the jetliner. And, you know, I don't know. That probably has as much credibility as my speculation or what Iran has to say about it or what, you know, WikiLeaks has to say about it for that matter. Now, that said, missiles are being shot around. To me, it seems like there's like two possibilities. I don't think it makes a lot of sense that it was a technical failure. So could Iran have shot down the jetliner? I mean, it's definitely possible. It's possible that that happened. Missiles are flying through the air. Is it possible that a plane gets caught in the crossfire? I think so, right? Is it possible that Iran mistook that for a different plane? Maybe. So I think it's definitely possible. You know, it is possible that that happened. It's possible that maybe another country shot this plane down. I've heard this theory that maybe it was some kind of a false flag. Although, honestly, that doesn't make much sense to me because if it was a false flag, in other words, if somebody else shot this plane down, number one, I think there would be a way to detect that. I think probably it could have been detected by radar if like a missile came in from like, I don't know, somewhere in the Eastern Mediterranean, right? A country bordering the Eastern Mediterranean. If it came from like Saudi Arabia, it seems to me like that could have been detected. Maybe Iran would be saying that. You know, if a missile came from another country, probably Iran could say, oh, well, a missile came from another country and attacked it. You know, they're trying to blame us. Moreover, if it was attacked by another country, I don't think Trump would be hand-waving it away like he is. What's very interesting about his response to the jetliner or the airliner is he said, it seems like a terrible mistake. It seems like somebody made a mistake. That sounds to me like he's affirming American intelligence, which says that Iran shot it down, but he's sort of hand-waving it away and saying, that doesn't really matter. Oh, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. In other words, like, it doesn't register for us as a hostile action, right? It doesn't register to us as an attack on our ally, Canada, right? So to me, if it was like a false flag, if somebody else shot down the plane, well, the only reason they would shoot down the plane over Iran would be to blame Iran, and then get the United States to attack Iran, would be the theory. I don't even know if it's like logistically possible that some other country could shoot a missile at it and it would go undetected, right? But even if that were the case, it's sort of like a non-starter and a non-sequitur, because if they were trying to get somebody to blame Iran for it, why would Trump hand wave it away then and say, oh, they made a mistake. Oh, it was terrible. They made a mistake. So that doesn't make much sense. Maybe somebody was on board the plane. To me, that seems like perhaps the most likely scenario. If there is something like fishy going on, maybe that's the most likely like conspiracy you could say about it, that, you know, if they shoot an airliner out of the sky, then the question is, who was on the plane? You know, if there were so many Iranians and so many Canadians and so many whoever, you know, was there somebody on the plane that people wanted to get taken out? You know, it's worth noting that the plane was headed towards Ukraine. That's weird, right? You know, it would be one thing if the plane was going from Iran to, like, Djibouti. Or, you know, it was going from Iran to, like, Mongolia. But of all the countries that could have possibly had an inbound plane going towards them from Iran that gets shot out of the sky, in this totally weird turn of events, this weird, like, missile retaliation, which I said yesterday was weird in itself, it had to be Ukraine, you know. And what is Ukraine currently embroiled in? Impeachment with Donald Trump, you know. So that's probably got the QAnon people like spinning. I'm sure all the QAnon posters, you know, are freaking out. They're on poll or they're on whatever, you know, that the plane is going from Iran to Ukraine. It gets shot out of the sky. That to me brings up the question again about the whole situation with Qasem Soleimani to begin with. which is to say that a lot of people thought that maybe the Iranian regime and the Trump administration were in cahoots. Does this sound crazy? That maybe Iran wanted, or rather the Iranian regime, wanted Qasem Soleimani dead because, you know, elements in the Iranian government were threatened by Qasem Soleimani. You've had these protests throughout Iran. Qasem Soleimani's a very popular figure. He's got the allegiance and the support of the IRGC. You know, maybe they feared that Qasem Soleimani could overthrow the government with the help of the IRGC. You know, that with these popular protests going on, he could usurp power somehow because he's got the military behind him. So the theory has, and I don't know, but this is the theory. The theory goes that Qasem Soleimani was a threat to the regime, so the regime wanted to take him out. So they back-channeled to the United States. They got the United States to kill him, because it doesn't make much sense that the United States just, like, randomly killed this guy. It was a wildly disproportionate escalation. Nothing like this has ever been done, in this administration at least. In this administration, this is without precedent, that they would do a decapitation strike like that on a government official. So we take out Qasem Soleimani, we look tough, we do them a favor, and then they do this strike on the embassy, or rather they do the strike on the bases in Iraq. They give us warning, and I heard from some sources that Iran actually gave the United States warning of their strike on Tuesday through Switzerland, that they sent a back channel through Switzerland, what bases they were going to attack and when, so that America could evacuate and there'd be no casualties. They do this face-saving strike. Nobody's killed, although they say people are killed, and then everybody's good. Like, that's a theory. Could it then tie in that maybe they shoot down this airliner and that's also part of the collaboration? I don't know. I mean, how far are you willing to go with this kind of stuff? You know, at what point are you willing to say, that's crazy, there's no evidence for that? Because in fairness, all the evidence we have is kind of circumstantial. You know, the only evidence that things are not as they seem is that it seems like convenient for a lot of parties involved and coincidental that certain parties are involved, right? It's convenient that Qasem Soleimani was killed and this just so happens to maybe help people in the regime and it doesn't look like they mind it so much because they didn't really retaliate. And then it's also coincidental that a plane gets shot down going to Ukraine. So at this point, all we have are like coincidences and like circumstantial evidence. So, I mean, how much can you really base a conspiracy off of if that's all you have? But then again, the whole thing just seems very weird. The whole thing to me, I just don't feel right about it. It feels, the energy is very much the same to me as it was during the Las Vegas shooting. You remember the Las, does anybody even remember that? The Las Vegas shooting at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, what was that, in 2017 or 2018? I remember it was October 1st, I think 2017. It was the biggest mass shooting in American history. And just like this, there were a lot of just unexplainable things that just didn't really add up. It went away very quickly. And I feel like the same thing is going on here. It feels very fishy. You know, and that the plane was going to Ukraine, that didn't like set off any alarm bells to me initially. But now the more that I think about it, the more I'm thinking, okay, maybe there was someone on this plane that needed to die, because otherwise, why would America not be making a big deal out of it? Why would this plane out of all the others go down? Why would it go down 2 hours after the missile strike concluded? You know, because to me, it seems like this plane goes down and you know, if we're going to hypothesize here, it seems like maybe they would deliberately shoot this plane down because they'd have plausible deniability because a missile strike was ongoing, you know? They had a missile strike, a plane goes down, and under normal circumstances, you would say, why did a plane randomly go down on this random day? But if you do it during the night of the missile strike, you could say, oh, well, we were shooting a lot of missiles in the air and a plane went down. Well, you could put two and two together, it just got caught in the crossfire, right? So to me, that seems like a valid hypothesis that maybe you shoot this plane down, the missile strike gives you cover, and nobody asks any questions. So I'll read on further. This is part of the news report as well. It says, Iranian officials are denying that one of their missiles shot down the passenger jet. A spokesman for the armed forces called the allegations ridiculous. And Ali Abedazadeh, I don't know, some Persian name, the head of the Iranian Civilian Aviation Authority, says it's not scientifically possible. Within hours of the crash, the aviation authority pointed towards technical failure as the cause and said the plane was on fire as it tried to return to the airport minutes after takeoff. A website affiliated with Iran's Revolutionary Guard called the U.S. intelligence a conspiracy cooked up by Iran's enemies. Ukrainian investigators arrived at the crash site to participate, but they have not yet been given access to the crash site. The Iranians have said that they will not hand over the plane's black boxes, but will work with the Ukrainians to download and analyze the data. They said if they need extra help, they may approach other countries and specifically mentioned France. So I guess we'll figure out more as time goes on. You know, maybe the Ukrainian authorities will look into it. Maybe France will get a hold of the data. I guess we'll see. It could just get completely memory hold. That seems to me like the most likely outcome. But it's all very strange to me. It's very, very strange. The events of the last 3 weeks, they don't seem normal. They don't seem like, and I know that might seem like, I don't know, like it's not really substantive. It's not like a substantial, it's not based on anything. It's just sort of a gut feeling, an intuition that something about the events of the last couple of weeks just doesn't seem to conform to like a normal explanation. The killing of Qasem Soleimani was like unexplainable in itself. That Trump would do that. I mean, it's plausible that that was supposed to be a punch in the face to Iran, but it also seems uncharacteristic of this administration. And then Iran's non-response also seems very uncharacteristic of Iran. I mean, it's plausible that Iran didn't want to provoke a response from the United States, but that they responded by giving us forewarning, right? They gave us prior warning of the missile strike, where it was going to be, what time it was going to be, and so on, so we could evacuate. It was a blatant face-saving maneuver. It was a nothing response. Like, that seems very uncharacteristic of Iran. And then you've got a plane falling out of the sky, and it's going to Ukraine? I mean, at that point, I don't know. It just seems all very weird. But I guess we'll see if there's anything that turns up with this investigation, if there is an investigation. But we're going to move on to our Super Chats. We'll see what you guys say about all this. And at this point, really all I have is that gut feeling. All I have is just sort of an inkling, an inclination that maybe things are not as they seem. But you know, who knows? Who knows what's really going on? I guess only QAnon understands. But let's see what we've got in our Super Chats. We've got Evner, who says, top five Kanye songs. Top five Kanye songs. That's kind of tough. I would probably say Runaway, Devil in a New Dress, Flashing Lights, I Wonder, and what's the last song on College Dropout? Last Call. Those would probably be my top five. Runaway, Devil in a New Dress, Flashing Lights, I Wonder, and Last Call. Although, I don't know, maybe Power would be in there. Paranoid with Streetlights. Out of their, I'd probably have to have a top 10. It's sort of hard to rank. I got so many favorites. Glenn C says, bro, we're literally about to get shat on with snow. By the way, James Alsup is now on Telegram at Real James Alsup. Yeah, it's going to start snowing here in Chicago. And yeah, I'll check that out. I didn't know he was on Telegram. I haven't really heard much from him. He's banned on everything, right? He's banned on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Where do you even find somebody like that, Gab? Right? Like, so I'm glad he finally got on Telegram. Bass Papa John says, Talmud? More like talk mud. Get it? Mud like poo. I love poo. Okay. Thanks for that. Count Dracula says, I don't care if this is cringe, but watching your show the past 8 months has given me so much confidence watching you tell everyone in the different subplots to go F themselves. It's such king energy. I am grateful. Well, that's not cringe, bro. That's great to hear. I'm glad the show inspires you. You just have to have that king energy. You can't let people bother you, you know? That's got to be your life attitude, in my opinion. West Offensive says, if I got drafted to Iran, I would just wear a shirt that says, if you shoot me, you're gay. Yeah, I think that would work, right? If you wear that. You'd have to like print it in Farsi, I guess. If you shoot me, you're gay, yeah. Bass Papa John says, we must secure the quality of our pizza and a future for our customers. Yeah, retweet. I had Papa John's not too long ago. I actually You know, a lot of people give me a hard time when I eat these, like, fast food pizzas. I'll, like, post, I'm eating Papa John's or I'm eating Pizza Hut. And all these, like, you know, the most insufferable people on the internet will say, oh, you shouldn't eat there. You should eat at a local Italian place. Oh, you're not a real Italian. Real Italians eat this. It's like, you know, people don't even understand what the purpose of these chains is. You know, I know that's not a real authentic pizza, dipshit. You know, I'm not posting a Pizza Hut and saying like, fine Italian cuisine. Duh, it's fast food. It's what it is, you know? That I can't get over people that are snobs about fast food. It's like, you know, you have to understand it for what it is. You know, fast food is not meant to be fine dining. It's meant to be cheap. It's meant to be easy. You get in the drive-thru. It's quick. It's open late. You know, and it's a guilty pleasure. It's like potato chips, you know. You eat it occasionally. You get a craving for it. But I'll post that. Why don't you get authentic? I do. We do, you know, almost every Friday we order from the local place, right? But sometimes you're in the mood for a little Papa John. You're in the mood for a little Pizza Hut. And I love Pizza Hut. I love Papa John's. It doesn't have to be fine, authentic, whatever. It tastes good to me, you know? And I love it. I love Pizza Hut. I love Papa John's. I used to love Domino's, but when I was in college, they were like the only restaurant on the meal plan. It was like the dining hall and then Domino's were your only options on the meal plan, prepaid by my parents. So it would be like 2 a.m. and the dining hall is closed. And it's like lunchtime for me because I would have woken up at like 9 o'clock p.m. So I'm like, I have to eat something. I'm broke. All I have is these meal points, but the dining hall is closed. Guess I'm getting, you know, cheesy bread and, you know, medium pan pizza from Domino's again. So I would eat that like, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And gradually I began to hate Domino's. So Domino's is probably the one I don't like. But yeah, I'm a big Papa John respecter, big Pizza Hut respecter. The Pizza Hut by me closed and they replaced it with a halal restaurant. You know, talk about white genocide. Valance is new. It was even worse, it was a Wing Street and Pizza Hut combination. And they shut it down and they made it. I don't even know what they have at Halal, guys. Anyway, Valance is New Zealand. Groiper here. Not much hope for my country, but where the USA leads, we follow. Back to traditional values. With you all the way, King. Well, thanks, big guy. Yeah, that's more like it. I like that energy. Deference towards America. Where America leads, the rest will follow. I like that. Let me get a little water to clear my throat here. Do I sound worse or better tonight? I feel like I sound worse. I feel better, but I feel like I sound worse. Yamato says, was General Patton murdered for speaking the truth? I think so. Yeah, I definitely think Patton was murdered. Senseless Tuning says, more anchor babies were born in America in 2019 than Americans. What's your take on birthright citizenship for non-citizens going forward? Is that true? It doesn't sound right, but I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. My position is that birthright citizenship should end. It should be revoked for illegal immigrants. How does that make any sense? The only reason you get birthright citizenship is because of the 13th Amendment. And the 13th Amendment was put in place after the Civil War for freed slaves. You know, it was very contextual. So to say that, oh, because, you know, African slaves, now their descendants become citizens, that like what, as long as you're on the land, you drop a baby, now you're a citizen? That doesn't make any sense. That was not the intention of the 13th Amendment. So as far as I know, that's where this policy derives, and it's bullshit, and it should stop. And that's the problem, is it's literally like a game of football. It's like, as long as these people get in the end zone, a little sports analogy for you, it's like all they have to do is jump in the end zone, and like, they're safe. It doesn't matter if they get like deported the next day, but as long as the baby gets dropped down on the land, anchors away, and what? Then they get Social Security and Medicare, and they get to go to public school, and they get free school lunch, and they get free busing, and they get free books, and they get free healthcare, and they get to go to the emergency room, and they get to vote, they're a citizen. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's insane. That's retarded, you know? like, if somebody breaks into my house and has their baby, like, does the baby, like, have to live in my house now? How does that make any sense? I guess it's not a perfect analogy, but you get the picture. Princess Amunda says, do the CBS interview, but only speak with Bane, Joker, and Star Wars quotes. That would be really funny. That would be really funny if I invited... We should just try, instead of, like, bullying the media, we should just try messing with the media. You know, they come inside, and I'm exclusively speaking in Batman and Star Wars quotes. Even, like, informal things like greetings and whatever. You know, it has to be from Star Wars or Joker. Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Joshua Larson says, Mossad acquired intel on the causal role of America First on global harmony. Benjamin Netanyahu then deployed Zoomer Clips, a confirmed bioweapon, to instigate geopolitical instability. Get well soon, King. Yeah, well, thanks. That is definitely possible. You know, the top Israeli scientists, you know, data analytics firms, they ran the numbers. They said, we're finding a strong correlation between global instability and this YouTube show, this live stream, originating from Chicago, Illinois in the United States. And then Benjamin Netanyahu personally dispatched the finest Mossad agents, you know, his personal guard, his personal vanguard, to serve as a bioweapon. You know, Zoomer Clips is summoned in Jerusalem at Mossad headquarters. You're on a very special assignment. We need you to take out Nicholas J. Fuentes. You know, Zoomer Clips gave him the salute. He comes to America. He's just coughing on all my belongings. We're out at Buffalo Wild Wings. Zoomer Clips says, wait one second. Before you guys go, I just got to get my phone charger. Goes into my bedroom, coughs on all my stuff, coughs on my toothbrush, spits on my bar of soap, whatever. Would that get you sick? I don't know. He spits on my pillowcase. And then he laughs to himself. He laughs to himself in Hebrew. Alex says, bruh, have you... And then, you know, I go away for a week and it's war with Iran. Alex says, bruh, have you seen that Syrian girl on the timeline? Can I get an autism check? Hey, do not disrespect based partisan girl, all right? Partisan girl is our girl, all right? If there's any e-girl that I respect, it's based Syrian waifu. Whoops. Let me pull her up. Didn't she, like, dye her hair, or was that a joke? I'm a partisan girl respecter. She's white, okay? She's a white Syrian. Don't disrespect. No disrespect. Mr. Rock says, funny how quiet Wignats were while you were tearing a new one to Shapiro and Conservative Inc., but are now persistently vocal about recent drama. Yeah, that's how it goes, but what are you going to do? And understand, that's why people have been coming for me for months because we're effective. That's all that it is. You know, so whether you think it's legitimate criticism or it's an attack, that's how it must be regarded. The only reason we are subject to the attacks, the constant nitpicking, the criticism, concern trolling, whatever, is because what we're doing is working. Like, ask yourself, you know, the show is so effective. The show is doing so much damage to Conservative Inc. Like, is it worth it? You know, because that is always the in, is people with legitimate criticism, concern trolling. Oh, guys, I don't know. Guys, I see so many, like, fake accounts popping up, May, January 2020, you know, zero followers, one tweet. Guys, I used to like America First, but I don't know. Nick seems like a neocon lately. It's like, ask yourself, even if you are legitimately questioning or whatever, understand it for what it is, right? So that's how I look at it. It's not even Wignats. I don't even know who it is. It's Mossad. It's, you know, whatever. It's QAnon. It's the CIA. But many, many attempts are being made now because we're doing a lot of damage. The shill thread's been going for months. West Offensive says Iranian men are gay because they wear dresses. Do they wear dresses? But I'm a Persian respecter. I'm a Persian respecter, but if we're going to war, you know, I got to go full-on groiper on Tehran. Polish-Americans' hottest world leader, Donald Trump. Polish-Americans says, so do Catholic priest dummy. I don't know what that means. Punish Chewie. Oh, in regards to the Persian men wearing dresses. Punish Chewie says, did you hear what happened in Delaware with Planned Parenthood? People need to understand that optics are necessary. No, I did not. I did not see what happened. Polish American says, Prince Harry caught simping for a femoid, shaking my head. Well, how is he? I don't really understand the prince. What is it? Prince Harry? I don't understand all that drama. I don't like follow the royal family, so I don't really know. I guess he's stepping down, but that's like a dig at the queen. I have no idea what's going on with that. Some angle. Joey Mole has to explain that one to me. Joey Mole and Milk Drinker have to explain what's happening with the queen. Zoomer G says, do you like DaBaby? Thanks for all you do. I don't really listen to DaBaby. Does he have like, what's his major song? What's the hit? Yeah, I don't really know what he sings. Bob Sakamoto says, how about the Boss Baby? Do you like the Boss Baby? I love Boss Baby. I saw that movie in theaters and it actually made me emotional towards the end. I'm a Boss Baby respecter. Warren says, what's your favorite Negative XP song? Beamer Boy. Probably that, or I like, what is it? It's the one about Anthony Fantano. It's like, you shouldn't be allowed to listen to music if you like Anthony Fantano. That's probably my other favorite song. Also, Bad Vibes. So those are my favorites. Tutu says, Trudeau wants war. I hope he plans on using his military, not ours. Well, I don't think he wants war. I think he just wants, like, an investigation. Fed and Law says, shout out to JD the Black for the e-girl roast. Absolute king move, and I'm still dying at the 1791L wash-up, still simping LMFAO. I know, that guy is such a king. I love JD. You know, and that's the best part is all these, like, that, oh, man, I was about to say something. That girl, Colpi, you know, she, I can't talk about it the way that I want to. Because of the community guidelines and optics. That girl, Culpy, you know, she's all over JD and she's all over black guys, frankly, right up until they want a counter signal. And then she's like, oh, JD is a token black. JD is a token black conservative. It's so funny how the script flips immediately. And look, I don't mean to go like Dems are the real racist mode on you, but it's not tokenism with us. You know, it really, if anything, it's the opposite. It's like, you know, we don't pander to anybody. We don't pander to minorities like Turning Point USA does, where they're like, oh, a black conservative? Here's $10,000 a month, and you're an ambassador, and, you know, here, we're going to put you in front of the photo op. If anything, it's like, are you sure? Like, you're on board with what we're saying, right? Oh, okay, like, yeah, you're cool, you know? And JD turns out to be like an epic poster. He turns out to actually be a great content creator and funny and, you know, a baller. And he's dripping in the merch and everything. And it just goes to show, like, in a weird way, you know, we're not in favor of, like, egalitarianism on the broad scale. But, like, on an individual level, I think we respect other people more than anybody else does, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? In the sense that we don't see JD as, like, oh, he's like the black guy, so he should be a token, or we should like treat him a certain way. We're like, oh, he's just a gamer. He's a fellow gamer, you know? I don't know. Does that sound cringe? But he is just a based gamer. He happens to be black, but it's like epic handshake. It's like black America first gamer, white America first gamers, shitting on Colpi, shitting on Colpi, and what's that guy's name? Christian O'Brien. That guy is so funny, man. I see him. I see him posting about me all the time, and he's mad online about America First and Nick Fuentes. He's always like concerned trolling me. Somebody should tell that guy to like stop being an alcoholic and like stop crying, dude. Somebody should tell Christian O'Brien, number one, you're ugly, and then number two, bro, you look like you were crying recently. Were you crying recently? Are you still an alcoholic? Because time to grow up, dude. That guy's such a pussy. I want to get him on stream. I want to get him on a D live stream at one point. Maybe game with him or, you know, just exchange words. That guy's the biggest faggot. I can't. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Disavow. I'm kidding. When I say the F word, I'm saying it ironically. That's a joke. Didn't mean that in a hateful, derogatory way. I mean that in a funny, banter way, okay? Oh, I can't do this show anymore if I can't go off, if I can't go gamer mode, right? I'm having gamer moments. So anyway, but yeah, that was pretty funny. Colby and Custard Loaf and Christian O'Brien, all these people, the absolute worst posters online. Let's see, NovaCore says, who's, you know, what people have been saying for the past week, they're like, oh, no e-girls, but catboys? Yeah, you know, frankly, I don't think there's anything more cringe than e-girls, honestly. It's hard to find anything more cringe than that. Hard to find anything more cringe than Colpi and, you know, all that's going on over there. NovaCore says, who's your favorite hero and villain in Battlefront 2 Heroes and Villains? Personally, mine is Darth Maul and Mace Windu. I think I answered this one, actually, earlier this week. Yeah, probably Darth Maul. Darth Maul's really good. Aayla Secura is actually pretty good. She's got, because she's got two lightsabers. But also, yeah, Mace Windu's pretty good. Count Dooku's fun. I like Count Dooku. He's based. Nova, or I just read that. Michael says, Ukraine has been a constant problem. They eat cabbage and dumplings. That's their culture. Let Russia have our sloppy seconds. Okay, disavow. I'm a Ukraine respecter, okay? We've got some based Ukrainians that watch this show. And cabbage is based. Cabbage boosts your testosterone. Yamato says, have you read Henry Ford's book on the world's foremost problem? He was pretty woke. The world's foremost problem from Henry Ford? Was it about, like, auto repair? Not really sure what you're talking about. Don says, five bushfire bucks for you, mate. Never forget who your real friends are. Well, hey, oi, thank you, mate. Good day. Appreciate that. On you, mate. Yeah, Australia, I don't know. I saw a study today that said actually Italy is our closest ally. I saw a report. Somebody did the math. They, like, calculated based on how many, based on which countries gave us military support in wars that we fought and which countries volunteered soldiers for wars that volunteered soldiers for wars that we fought, and they found that Italy was, like, the closest ally if you measure it in terms of, like, military support during wars. So I don't know, maybe Italy's our closest ally, but hey, Australia's pretty close too. They're one of our best allies. First name, last name says I'm like dying over here, by the way. I'm dying. First name, last name says, virgin facts and logic versus Chad repeating someone's arguments back to them in a retard voice. Thanks for the epic debate tactic, King. Works every time. So true. It's so true. You know, like, somebody had to bring an end to this gay debate me facts and logic stuff that we got from Ben Shapiro. Because it's so true. You know, the virgin, well, my study says this, versus the Chad, like, duh, we were monkeys and now we're people? Oh, okay. You know, like, nothing competes with just, like, ridicule. That is the best argument. Sorry, like, debate team nerd. Sorry, Lincoln Douglas debaters, but ad hominem and just, like, using a stupid voice, it triumphs over, like, my paperwork says, well, according to my calculations. Nobody cares about your calculations, okay? We're going to put people like you in jail. That's what I have to say. I'm so proud, you know, that we've introduced that. All these, like, science cucks that are out there, like, oh, Nick doesn't believe in evolution. Nick doesn't believe in dinosaurs. Yeah, what about it? Usually, you know, Christians and other people would be, like, scrambling. You know, people are mocking them, laughing at them. Oh, you're a creationist. Oh, you're a pea brain, you know, like Christian, whatever. And Christians would be scrambling. No, I'm not. Look at what this says. You know, and 15 years later, 15 years after New Atheism and Christopher Hitchens, we've got a movement that says, like, oh, your ancestor was monkeys? Okay, dude, you know. Oh, dinosaurs? You mean, like, giant monsters? What are you, retarded? You know, that is the king argument. There's no beating that argument. So, because it's not an argument, it's just ridicule. It's just social proof, and I love it, and I stand by it. Phil, yes, as my school has an outbreak of lice. Do you know any good chemicals for delousing? No, can't say that I do, sorry. Priority one says, was the large microphone on the desk from the older episodes a prop? And whatever happened to it? I'm still using it. It's just overhead here. That's just on a boom arm now. Yeah, very sophisticated setup. The audio is actually much worse because of this. But I'll be upgrading the audio soon. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a lot of upgrades incoming this year. Who knows what could happen? So it's still there. Vito says, my only principle in politics is loyalty. Every decision is made by those that I'm loyal to need or want. By what those that I'm loyal to need or want. Don't care about ideology or systems. Same, dude. Same. Loyalty's number one. You know, a lot of people wonder about the decisions I make or things I do. That's the explanation. It's about loyalty. There's nothing in politics more than any other, you know, industry or field or whatever you want to call it. Loyalty is critical. It's number one. It's like, that's my number one bedrock principle. So, I agree. Ivan says, Chad King, want to help apprenticeship at Ivan Law HG. What does that mean? Do you mean you want me to be your apprentice or you want to be my apprentice? I don't know what you mean by that. Courtney says, Nick, how do you drink out of a glass? I don't know what that means. Vito says, I'm in between radio jobs right now, but as soon as I settle down in Manch, Vegas, I can have you on to play Wheel of Meat. I discovered Triple H. Okay, I don't know what that means. You mean you discovered Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the wrestler? Is that what you're talking about? But okay, I'm not really sure what any of that means. Except for Manch Vegas. I've been to Manch Vegas. I've been to Manchester. Monochrome says, did Justin Sherman respond to your email? He did not. Vito says, Anthony Cumia came out in support of Catboys. Huge. Great, thanks. James says, Nick, big fan of the show. Thanks for all you do. I've got a job interview tomorrow and would love a shout-out, good luck wish. Also, have you ever seen Akira or Ghost in the Shell? No, I've not seen either of those. But I want to watch Akira because Kanye West likes that. So I want to watch it. Well, good luck with the job interview. I hope it goes well. I would like to see you do well. Because that means more shekels for me. If you do well, you've got to pay it back. First paycheck's got to go to me. It's on me because I gave you the well wishes, okay? Whoa, bro, says, Nick, can I get one of those hug backpats tonight? Sure, bro, for sure. Seek says, love the show, Nick. Also, time to retire my name, which is, okay, you can understand what it is. It's Kyle related, okay? Yeah, maybe it's time to retire that one. Kind of stale. Jacob says, Nick, can you name some other good America First YouTube channels we can watch? Looking for more content that has the same message that you do. Vince James of the Red Elephants, Jake Lloyd, Steve Franson is really good, American Renaissance and Jared Taylor. Let me think, who else? Who else am I missing? Who am I subscribed to? That's the question. Let me take a look and see. Who is Nick subscribed to? PewDiePie, Folk Salad, Nick Fuentes Clips, Rap Leaks, The Fallen State, yeah, Jesse Lee Peterson, Daily Brap, Zoomer Clips, VDare TV, Jacob Sartorius, that's a good America First channel for sure, Weekly Sweat, yeah, so John Doyle's pretty good as well. Yeah, so those are my subscriptions. Let me get a sip here. I'm dying. Oh, getting scratchy. I'm pushing through for you. Let's see. Tutu says, guys, here's a reminder that your sperm becomes toxic at age 40, so start having kids in your 20s. So you don't have a special needs child. I don't think that's true, but okay. Persian Mafia says, hope you get better, big guy. Yeah, me too, dude. Thanks. Nicholas J, 56% test says, why couldn't the pony sing? Because it was hoarse. Okay. AM says, grilling a steak and watching Nick the Knife is a great way to unwind after work. Thanks for it all, big guy. Well, you're welcome. Hope you enjoy the steak. Yeet says Trudeau demands action. What is he going to do? Whine like a little bitch? Wake me up when the Leafs start dropping maple syrup on some heritage sites. Yeah. Epic super chat, bro. Good one. Good one. Yeah, you're one of us. Yeah, you rock. Crazy Red says, if you go with the CBS documentary, I'll be hyped to see it in a few years' time. Yeah. In 5 years, they'll drop it. Harold says, what do you call a guy with a small penis? Justin. Good one. Hutso says, just adding to the fun. Have a blessed night. Oh, well, thanks, buddy. Grim says, Sinaga case, UK immigrant drugged and raped 260 men. I have not heard about that. Tutu says, speaking of Jared Taylor, I don't know much about him. Is more like you or Richard Spencer? Is that a question? He's definitely more like me. I don't think he associates with Spencer because he's not retarded. Polish American says, meditate upon this slowly. I ask for very little compared to how much I'm being given, says Saint Jose Maria Escriva. Great content. Google sanctifying work. Okay, thanks. Samad Bakr Al-Haid says, Ustasa first. Jonathan says, remember when we win, M. Hyde, quote. Yeah, exactly. Sailor Twiff says, hey, King, just copped an America First hoodie for CPAC. Oh, good, thanks. Jay Roxer says, as a fellow Leaf, this airplane disaster makes me especially sad. Too bad Trudeau is a deflated Jabba the Hutt. I don't really know what that means. Hans, Jabba the Hutt's kind of Chad. He's rich, he slaps ass, you know, he's slave Leia kind of based, you know, he's just eating aliens or what, alien and ALMOs, he's eating them, he's got a palace, he's got a barge, I don't know, kind of Chad. If he was not fat, that would be more Chad. Hans says, still kind of large, they say the going rate is 2 to 3 get across for every 1 apprehension, so 70 to 100 get across in December, 5 times the size of the hometown. Yeah, but you understand that, like, I'm not saying that it's good that we have 33,000 people being apprehended, but it's better than 150,000, right? That means that the number's going down, it looks like we're getting a handle on it at least, so. Minnesota Groiper says, I looked him up, Justin Sherman, damn it, my throat's dying here. I can't even finish. Minnesota Groiper says, I looked him up. Justin Sherman has written about the promotion of porn literacy in schools. Not surprising that he'd be the type of person to try to do a hit piece on you and the other creators. Yeah. All journalists are like this. You know, you don't have to look very hard to find them, you know, writing a defense of something reprehensible. Jeff says, where do you keep your cookies? I keep mine in a jar. Okay. Q17 says, Justin Sherman's credits include a piece about a victorious cross-country team in Atlanta consisting of Somalian refugees, the victory of heroin testing kit distribution in New York City, and why Americans are moving to the West Bank. Yeah, so obviously a very trustworthy person. Somebody would like to do me a lot of favors, definitely. Gavin says, any journalist you'd allow to interview you? Curious if it's viable or simply pointless considering their treatment towards people in your position. I would probably take it on a case-by-case basis. Excuse me. If somebody gave me, like, exceptional assurances that they would be fair, then maybe. But for the most part, I'm just turning everybody down for now. Blake says, should fast food, cigarettes, and rap be banned? Probably cigarettes. But definitely not fast food and definitely not rap because I like those things. Leo's idea for what to say to Pete Buttigieg. Hi, Pete. My name is Yura. You're a fag. Okay, disavow community guide. Can I get a community guidelines check on that one? But that's kind of funny. Let's see. Minnesota Groiper says, people are lying if deep down they aren't a little bit intrigued by the prospect of all-out conflict. Would be pretty epic to see, but yeah, there shouldn't be war with Iran. Well, look, it's a joke, okay? When I say that, I'm joking, so. Gummer Bear says, I'll give you 1,000 if you change the name to Catboys first. Yeah, not going to happen. Apple says, I don't need your money, Gummer Bear. No, go, I presume this is an Owen Benjamin fan. You know, that's somebody that's unironically gay. That's somebody that unironically has sex with men. Apple says, Iran refuses to hand over the black cube. Return the cube. Return the tesseract. You know, Iran. Donald Trump is going up to Hassan Rouhani. You know, He goes to the United Nations. We will negotiate with Iran without any preconditions. They sit down with the Ayatollah. Return the cube. Return the black cube. Return the Tesseract. Now! You know, Donald Trump, animated by Jewish spirits, by ancient, what would you call it? Ancient Kabbalistic spirits. Return the cube now. And we don't rain down runic spells on your country. Harold says Israel tested their new laser sword defense system. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? I scrolled down too far. Polish American says apparently the flight went off course before it was hit. Perhaps it was a surface-to-air missile intended for a retaliatory American jet. I guess it's possible. Gregory says Dems ask for trillions of dollars on green projects to stop the world from getting 1 to 2 degrees warmer, but can't splurge any money on border barrier. I know. These liberals are so crazy. So what a good point. Polish American says, why'd you roast yesterday for suggesting a false flag? Because I think it's stupid still, kind of. Alex, because I think you're dumb for saying that. Alex says it. Excuse me. Alex says it'd be hilarious if Trudeau wipes out an Iranian base for justice and starts a major conflict. That's not going to happen. What if Canada just immediately inherits the American Empire? Win-win. That would be funny. What if Justin Trudeau blew them up? Yeah, that'd be really funny, dude. Lelorin says, a fence is better because you see through the fence all the traffic and movement, hence you see what is brewing on the other side. Love from Iceland. No, that's not true. You know, Israel built a concrete wall, and all the experts say a concrete wall is better. I know people in the government, and they say this. Polish American says, two words is an underrated Kanye song. Yeah, that's totally true. Two words is a good one. Rob says, hey, Nick, I've heard you mention quantum computing a few times on the show. Is it just a more advanced version of the the computing we use now, or is it something different? It's something different. Sultan of Kings says, big fan, what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self? Also glad to hear that you're sounding better. Get well soon. Thanks. Yeah, I'm feeling amazing. Advice that I would give to my 16-year-old self, I don't know. 16 years old, what grade was I in when I was 16? I think it was a junior. I'd probably say focus on your grades, you know? Get your grades up, stay in school. What would I say to myself when I was 16? I'd probably say, I don't know, I don't regret anything. I think I kind of love where I'm at right now. So, you know, if I would tell myself something when I was 16, if I could have, deviated from that trajectory, I don't want to deviate. I like where I'm at right now. I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty good as far as geniuses go, and I'm feeling pretty hood in my pink polo, right? That's what Kanye says. So I don't know if... I think he had his head... 16-year-old Nick Fuentes had his head on straight. You know, this guy was a Chad. He knew what he was doing. He had his priorities straight. Everybody was doubting him, but he knew. He knew the plan. Even back, 16-year-old Nick Fuentes was saying, Mom, Dad, trust the plan, you know. Mom and Dad were telling 16-year-old Nick Fuentes, they were yelling at him every night, do your homework. Stop focusing on Model UN and politics. Stop focusing on politics. Do your math homework. And Nick Fuentes said, Ma, trust the plan. Dad, trust the plan. This school's bullshit. He was right. The plan is vindicated. It's all going according to plan, folks. It's been going according to the plan from day one, let me tell you. So I don't know if I have any advice. I just say, you know, keep up the good work. Well, I would say some other things, but that's private. That's between me and 16-year-old Nick Fuentes. I give some very specific advice, but it's private. It's between me and him. Gary says, not going to lie, former Nick supporter here. Here we go. Yeah, sure. Bullish American says, simp takes band and Prince Harry simps. Coincidence? I guess the two are related for sure. Says Nick, how does the computer work? Yeah, you're asking the wrong person for sure. Let's see. Mushroom says, I sent a super chat about using Rules for Radicals and you dismissed it. Alinsky is a scumbag, but his tactics have worked for the left. So why the hesitation? Because it's such a boomer thing to say, you know. All these fucking boomers. Why did you slap down my super chat? Because Alinsky is so gay, dude. Don't you get it? You know, Alinsky tactics just means like being a scumbag. There's really nothing to it. I've read Rules for Radicals. I have two copies of the book. I got one from my, like, I don't want to be rude, but I got one from Turning Point USA, or I'm sorry, I got one from the Leadership Institute. When I did a job training at Leadership Institute, they gave everybody a copy of Rules for Radicals, and I think I got one from my grandma. Okay, I love my grandma. You know, she gave me that book in fairness in like 2015, so at that time it was very hip, it was very cutting edge. But at this point in time, the Rules for Radicals thing has been done to death. You know, everybody's read it, everybody gets it. And what's in Rules for Radicals is it's just like very basic. It's all very basic advice. You know, it's like when people talk about The Prince or 48 Laws of Power. I mean, this is just like try hard crap. You know, just don't be a retard. Just be smart. Just be smart and not dumb. Hello? You know, Rules for Radicals. It's like number one, be unscrupulous, be tactful. Like, oh, thanks for the advice. Alinsky's a scumbag. Who cares? Alinsky's not making things move in this country. You know, Alinsky hasn't changed anything. You know, Alinsky was a community organizer. He was like a nobody. You know, let's talk about George Soros and Bob Iger. And, you know, let's talk about, you know, the World Something Congress and things like that. People talking about Alinsky. It's a total red herring. Connor says, Nick shooting down interview offers from mainstream news outlets like Iran shooting down planes. Yeah. Kel says, Feds on poll trying to turn you into a cringe and unfunny literal poster because they know that being funny is the best way to gain traction. Wignat's too autistic to understand. Look, I'll just say trust the plan, you know. At the end of the day, it's like, if you don't trust the plan, whatever. It's like, whatever. The plan will unfold and you will be embarrassed. You will be humiliated. You will come crawling back, invariably. You know, the plan will succeed with or without losers who don't understand, you know, who do not see my track record and get it. If you're high IQ, you get it. If you're low IQ, you don't. And you could say, but Nick, really? This is trusting the plan? Like, okay, go eat shit. Go watch another show, you know? But the plan will unfold regardless. I can't wait to see. People are like, how could this possibly make any sense? Just wait. Just wait, folks. You know, just wait. Seriously. People are going to look very dumb by the end of this year. Let's just put it that way. Okay? Let's just put it that way. You know, like Sean. Sean's a perfect example. He was texting me about a lot of this stuff last month. The Milo thing. Even the stream last month. And he was like, he gave me a hard time about it in DMs. Sean is like one of my best friends. He was like, well, I don't see how this is trusting the plan. Like, whatever. And I explained to him what was going on, and he was like, oh, never mind, based. So, just wait and see. You know, plan trusters will be rewarded, and plan deniers will be remembered. You know, let's just put it that way. But, 4D chess, let's be real. You know, Groiper Wars, I've given nobody any reason to doubt, and if you doubt me, well, I'll remember. That's all I'm going to say. Polish American says, end zone, you're safe. I think you mixed up sports, JK. Funny joke. Peter says, just 9 days into the new year, New York bail reform has allowed numerous black criminals on the street. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, has allowed numerous criminals back on the streets. I read it as black criminals for some reason. Whoops. Has allowed numerous criminals back. Hello, dyslexia department. Or Freudian slip department has allowed numerous criminals back on the streets. I read that as black criminals on the streets. Has allowed numerous criminals back on the streets to form other people, rather to harm other people the same day. I hate this state. Yeah, that sucks. Let's see. Nuke says, is it true you're meeting up with Sam Hyde on Saturday? What? Where'd you hear that? I don't know. I can't confirm or deny. Princess Amunda says that Buckbee geezer is a that Buckbee geezer is a right wanker, isn't it? Yeah, Buckbee's a total shill. What an idiot. That guy's just such a clown, you know? He's going to tell me about, like, oh, you're racist, you're anti-Semitic. It's like, dude, you're in the Proud Boys. It's so rich to me that people that are marginalized or whatever, defamed as racist and anti-Semitic, think they're going to get brownie points by turning to somebody else and saying, oh, you're racist and anti-Semitic. You know? In other words, it's like the Proud Boys get lied about and they get locked up all day long, but they think they're going to save face if they say, oh, no, no, but Nick is the real racist. You know, Jack Buckby wrote this article in Human Events saying as much today. And it's like, really? Like, don't you get it at this point? So, yeah, that guy's an idiot. Ghost-faced Schiller says, Nick, love the show. I'm trusting the plan and waiting for phase two. Do you check your emails? Yeah, I will get back to you if you sent me an email. But, yeah, phase two is incoming. Polish American says, simple as, yeah. Our Aces just got done watching 1917, and it was so keno that it convinced me to set up an appointment with a doctor ASAP so I could get diagnosed with as many disorders as possible in case this war does pop off. Okay. I don't, because war is bad? Because war in that movie is bad? Yeah, that movie looks pretty good, I guess. Jay says, Ben Pai is a fag. Oh, you mean, who's Ben Pai? I don't know who that is. Senate says, how was your McDonald's? It was good. I got a Big Mac and a quarter pounder and fries, and it was delicious. I was driving around with the top down on the convertible because it was 50, so I got to drive around with the top off. I was blasting Kanye, eating a Big Mac, eating a quarter pounder. I was jamming. Punish Chewy says, autist tried bombing Planned Parenthood. BuzzFeed is connecting us. Ah, jeez. Yeah, well, awesome. Random number 9 says, Destiny versus Enoch on the kill stream tomorrow. Who you pulling for? Probably Enoch, you know, because I really just hate Destiny. And, yeah, so I guess we'll see. Alan says, the Henry Ford book is about the JQ. What's the JQ? Is that the, what does that stand for? Is that like, some kind of automobile part? Is that some kind of like a car manufacturer? Is that like GM or something? I'm not sure what that is. Yamato says, Ratchet and Clank, Sly Cooper, or Jack and Daxter? Sly Cooper for sure. Parth says, Epstein documentary on ABC right now. Turn on the TV, friends. No, keep watching this. Jordan says, Vindicated, bless up, King. Thanks, buddy. Phileas says, hope you get better, King. Thanks for pushing through. Yeah, you got it. Monochrome says, yo, Nick, have you considered upgrading your graphics card? I have a spare RX 5700. Yo, is that better than what I have, though? If it is, email me. Email me, njfuentesblog@gmail.com. But I've got a GTX 1070. So if it's better than that, then yeah, shoot me an email. But I don't know anything about graphics cards. Evner says, I suspect the McDonald's general manager Patton was killed by a corporate assassin for revealing the sauce recipe. Okay, this joke is still funny. Anon says, wheeze, cough. Man, thank you. Jeff says, no worse feeling than waiting 20 minutes for your super chat and Nick doesn't get it. Jar John moment. Also, please look up the difference between less and fewer, King. Okay, thanks. Walnuts says, if you haven't read Donovan Warland on YouTube, you're missing out. He's a great Christian man who's wildly intelligent. Oh, okay, I'll check that out for sure. Let's see. Gamer says, Meghan Markle is hot. Disagree, disavow. Polish American says, pride goeth before the fall. Okay, can you just stop super chatting? Because your super chats are just like ass. Nathan says, did you ever do debate or just Model UN? Just Model UN. Debate was like too formal for me. Model UN was cool because you got to be like mean and, you know, you could like lie. You know, in Model UN, you could go up and give a speech and be funny and have a sense of humor. You could bully people. You could make things up. You could just pull stats out of your butt. And it was awesome. And debate, it was like you had to do homework. You had to write things up beforehand. And there were all these rules. And a Model UN was just like, he's got to be epic. It was political LARPing. Sky Chaser says, I'll have the quarter pounder with Van Halen instead of Kanye. Okay, so you're going to have the Gen X special. Let's see. Last super chat here from Alan. Alan says, LOL, the Henry Ford book is about Jews. JQ is the Jew question. Check it out. Well, I don't know why I'd want to read anything about Jews. All I know about Jews is, you know, they're just like us Christians, but they celebrate a couple of different holidays, and they're our closest ally. So I don't know why I'd want to read anything like that. VG says, disregard previous super chat. It's the jalopy question. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, well, that's our last super chat. That's going to do it for us tonight. Oh, gee, I'm just like dying over here. I gotta get better. I gotta drink some tea or something. Also, I will not be here tomorrow. I'll be out of town. You'll see why, but I'll be out of town for the weekend, so I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but I will be back on Monday, so it's going to be the last show for the week. Remember to sign up for the email list. Go to nicholasjfuentes.com, put your email on the email list. That's the only way you're going to be able to keep up with me if I get banned, and who knows, it might happen. So be sure to do that. Also sign up for my Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1. Remember to subscribe to this channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. This is America First. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you, and I will see you on Monday. Won't be here Friday, but I'll see you on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and have a great rest of your evening.